The days of seaweed being eaten only in Japanese dishes are over. These ocean greens, and by the way, each one has a different taste, are answering the call for good tasting, good for the environment, and good for us eating. Think noodles, seasonings, and now, next to the Doritos, seaweed snacks. Chef Bart Seaver is on board with the plan. He's written a book dedicated to the cause, Superfood Sea Greens, A Guide to Cooking with Power-Packed Seaweed. Our contributor Joe Yonan, food and dining editor of the Washington Post and a wannabe seaweed enthusiast, talked to Barton about how we can all learn to love the weeds of the ocean.
Barton, thanks so much for talking to us today.
Oh, Joe, it's such a pleasure.
Barton, one of the first things that I noticed about your book is that they're apparently not called seaweed anymore. Why is that?
Well, you know, people have such a taboo, I guess, against seaweeds. We see them washed up on the shore and, you know, we haven't developed a positive cultural association with them. You know, the Earth is 70% ocean and we aren't really exploring all that it has to offer there. And when it comes to sustainability, certainly there's so many issues that we're facing, from a lack of fresh water, lack of arable land, land use alterations affecting wildlife. I mean, all of these factors are really beginning to put a lot of pressure on agriculture. So there's a real reason there to push towards farming the seas. And so really when we're trying to rethink of seaweeds, ocean plants and ocean life as food, if we relate it to something that people already understand, sea greens, well, then it automatically gives people an understanding of how to use them and even what they begin to taste like.
So, Barton, where should we start when we're trying to use more sea greens?
Well, luckily enough, you can start right at your regular grocery store, often in the international foods aisle. You can find bags of dried seaweed, most often two varieties. You can find dried kelp, sugar kelp, and dried dulse, which is a red seaweed. And they come in about 2-ounce packages. And to use them, you simply steep them in a little bit of tepid water to bloom them and to rehydrate them a little bit. And then the greens themselves are perfectly usable, chopped up, thrown into a salad, mixed with grapefruit and fennel, a little bit of spicy olive oil and some sherry vinegar. Whew, fantastic. Their flavors can be intense, but the beauty of them is really how they integrate into dishes, how they accentuate and highlight other flavors. Most of us are very familiar with sea greens in the form of miso soup or a dashi broth that, you know, accompanies every sushi meal that we've had. And so making a broth and maybe braising some chicken in that, chopping up some dried sea greens and adding it to a minestrone soup, you know, just adds such a wonderful little texture and this depth of flavor. And I think the key to this is not trying to hide the sea greens, but trying to gain familiarity with them through dishes that we're already comfortable with and that we already know that we love.
So I made this great dish out of your book, Barton, the Saag Paneer. It's that classic Indian dish of spinach with paneer cheese, and you add sea greens in with the spinach. Why did you want to combine those, and what other ways do you really recommend people think about cooking with seaweed?
Well, I thought about incorporating sea greens in the Saag Paneer because of that rich, deep-flavored spinach puree that becomes the sauce in which the whole, you know, the cheese is all, you know, bathed and braised. I mean, wow, just what a great way to incorporate this other deep, rich umami flavor and it just accentuated with the coriander and the cumin and all the spices of that dish. It was just a fun way to meld flavors. That's one of the ways that I really look to use sea greens, you know, combining it with spinach and layering it into lasagna or creaming, you know, green beans with sea green stock, something like that, where you're really using it to accentuate flavors. But then there's also times when you use sea greens really as the main course, you know, on its own, where you're really looking to gain all of that flavor out of it. You know, I do like a collard style braised sea greens. You throw in some bacon, you throw in some onion, woo! Man, you keep it vegan, you throw in some smoked paprika and some onion in there, and what an incredible dish you have. And that really sort of represents the two ways of thinking about it. One is sort of a garnish and an accentuating flavor, and the other as really a main stage ingredient. And it works equally well as both.
And you write that there's more and more frozen available, and is fresh even possible?
Frozen is really, I think, where the market is going to go. Fresh sea greens, there are some difficulties with that as the product begins to break down fairly quickly after it comes out of the water. It needs to be blanched in order to stop that process. Plus, I think given the lack of broad market for it, I think a lot of stores are going to be hesitant to bring in a highly perishable product. So frozen seaweed, though, is in terms of culinary qualities, pretty much exactly the same as fresh. You really don't lose anything in the freezing process. And if you think about it, well, sea greens grow in terribly cold climates. I mean, I was harvesting sea greens and oysters up off the coast of Maine, and the seaweed was frozen. Well, it's meant to be frozen. The cellular structure stays intact, and so you end up with this beautiful, textured, full of flavor, vibrant frozen product that's as good as quality as you can get.
Barton, thanks so much for coming in and talking to us today.
Oh, Joe, it's a real pleasure. Always nice to reconnect with you.
Bart Seaver is author of Superfood Sea Greens. Joe Yonan is author of Eat Your Vegetables, Bold Recipes for the Single Cook. Now, Bart left us with a recipe for flatbread with butternut squash and smoked dulse. You can find it at splendidtable.org.